Today we continue in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Yoma with lesson number 14, in which we will complete the third perek and begin the fourth perek. We had been learning about the step-by-step sequence of procedures and activities performed by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. However, for the past Mishnayos, Mishnah Yud, which we learned yesterday in Lesson 13, we had a list of individuals who contributed especially exquisite, especially beautiful, especially expensive objects to the Beis HaMikdash. This list in Perek Yud came about because at the end, this list in Mishnah Yud came about because at the end of Mishnah Tes, we learned that the Kohen Gadol, when he came to the northeast section of the Azora, where there were two goats before him, there was also a kalpi there. A kalpi is a kind of a box or chest, and in it were two goralos, two lots, which were made originally of eshgeroa, of boxwood, and later Ben Gamla made them of gold. So since we mentioned in Mishnah Tes Ben Gamla, who gave a special contribution to the Beis HaMikdosh, in Mishnah Yud we learned of other people, Ben Kotin, Munvaz, Hilni Hamalka, who, and Niknor, who gave special objects to the Beis HaMikdosh. And therefore, they were praised. Hayu Mazkirin Oso Lishvach. They used to mention the names of Niknor and of the others with praise. P-R-A-S-E. However, now as we proceed to Mishnah Yud Aleph, the 11th Mishnah of Perek Gimel, we also learned that there were individuals or families that were, when their names were mentioned, not only were they not mentioned with praise, but rather they were mentioned with criticism. They were mentioned with scorn. V'elu lignai. The following, when their names were mentioned, they were mentioned because their activities or actions were shameful. Number one, Shel Beis Garmu, the family of Beis Garmu, Lo Rotsu Lelameid Al Ma'ase Lechem Haponim. They knew the skill of how to bake the Lechem Haponim, the breads which were placed each week upon the Shulchan inside the Heichal. Now these breads were made in the shape of a teva perutza, an open box. So they were kind of U-shaped breads, or perhaps V-shaped breads. And to be able to extract from an oven breads and keep them in the form of a U or a V without having them crumble, that took special skill. And that skill was mastered by the members of the family of Beis Garmu, and they refused to teach others that skill, and therefore they were criticized. Similarly, Shel Beis Avtinos, the family of Beis Avtinos, who were the experts in the preparation of the ketores, of the incense, and who knew about a special herb called Ma'ale Oshon, a smoke-raising herb, meaning it was a herb, a kind of a grass, that when that was added to the incense, and the incense was placed upon the fire, the smoke would go up in a straight line, and not to the east, to the west, to the south, to the north, but directly straight. That skill was known by the Beis Avtinos. They knew which herb this was and how to prepare it, and what proportion to add it to the mix. Lo rotzu lelameid al ma'ase haktores. But they didn't want to share this knowledge with others, and because of that, they were criticized. Similarly, Hugras ben Levi, an individual called Hugras ben Levi, Hoyo Yodea Perek Bashir, he knew how a special musical technique which enabled him to put his thumb in his mouth and to make special sounds come out of his mouth with his fingers. And it was such a loud and powerful noise that he made that when people heard it, they recoiled, they fell backwards. And v'lo rotzo l'lameid, he didn't want to teach anyone else this skill. So these three individuals knew special skills which they did not want to share with others. Ben Kamtzor, a fourth individual whose name was Ben Kamtzor, lo rotzo l'lameid al ma'asei haksav. He didn't want to teach others a technique that he knew of how to write with four pens at the same time by inserting the four pens between his five fingers. And he would be able to write the Shem Havaya, Yud Hey, and then Vov Hey. He was able to write that simultaneously with each pen writing a different letter at the same time. Neat trick, and he didn't want to teach that to others. So Al HaRishonim, simple meaning of this Mishnah is, for those people who are mentioned at the end of Perek Tes and in Mishnah Tes and in Mishnah Yud, meaning Ben Gamlo, Ben Kotin, Munvaz, Hilni, and Nicanor, on them it was said, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, may the memory of the righteous be for a blessing. V'yal Elu, however, on those mentioned here in Mishnah Yud Aleph, Beis Garmu, Beis Aftinas, Hugras Ben Levi, and Ben Kamtzor, Nemar, on them the Posuk in Mishle reads, V'shem Rishoim Yirkov, the name of the wicked, may it rot, may it decay. In the Gemara, a brisa is brought in which it is mentioned that at least the first three, the Beis Gormu and the Beis Aftinas and Hugras ben Levi, they had a good reason for what they were doing, since they knew the secrets of how to bake the bread and make the incense rise in a straight line and the special musical technique which Hugras knew. They were afraid if they would teach it to others, others would take the skill and use it in the worship of idols. And therefore they kept it to themselves to make sure that the skill was only used in the service of the Beis HaMikdash and not in the service of idols. However, Ben Kamtzor, he had no excuse for not teaching his special skill of Ma'aseh Haksov. If we follow that pshat, then when the Mishnah here says, Al HaRishonim Ne'emar Zecher Tzadik Livrocho, it means the Rishonim in this Mishnah, in Mishnah Yud Aleph, Beis Garmu, Beis Aftinas, Hugras, they are the ones who, of whom it is said, Zecher Tzadik Livrocho, they're blessed. However, on Ben Kamtzor, it is said, Shem Rishoim Yirkov. Interestingly, the Gemara also describes some of the virtues of Beis Garmu and Beis Aftinas. Beis Garmu, since they were involved in the preparation of the Lechem Haponim, they never permitted their children to eat pasnikia, to eat pure, clean, white bread. Because people would think, oh, look, they're eating, they're giving their kids to eat the Lechem Haponim, the special bread which belonged in the Beis HaMikdash. So to avoid suspicion, to fulfill the posik of V'hiyisem Nekiyim Me'Hashem U'Me'Yisrael, that all of us are supposed to avoid situations which might make others suspect us of wrongdoing. So therefore they always gave their kids bread that was obviously not Lechem Haponim. And similarly, Beis Aftinas, who were involved in preparing the fragrant incense, never allowed the brides of their families to use special to go out in the street from their homes using any perfume. Because people might say, the perfume they're using is the perfume from the incense. And similarly, when Beis Aftinas would do a shidduch with a woman from outside Beis Aftinas, they would say to her, you're coming into our family, I want you to know, you can't use perfume. Or a kind of perfume that people might suspect was derived from the incense. All of this is to fulfill the pasuk v'hiyisem nekiyim, to do things in a way which draws no suspicion upon you. And so we have finished Perek Gimel, the third Perek, but now we move on to the fourth Perek and Mishnah Aleph. And here we resume the sequence of activities that the Kohen Gadol performed on Yom Kippur. We have him now stationed in the northeast corner of the Azora, facing the Shnei HaSeirim, the two twin goats, the two matched goats. Toraf Bakalpi, he shook up the box in which there were the two lots, and he drew out from the box the Ha'elo Shnei Gorolos. He put his two hands in the box and grabbed with one hand one lot, with the other hand the other lot. Echod Kosuv Olov Lashem, upon one Gorol, upon one lot, was written Lashem, for God, for the name, for God. Ve'echod Kosuv Olov La'azazel. And upon the other was written that this goat will go La'azazel, will eventually be thrown down the cliff. Now, he's standing there, Hasagan Miyamino, with the vice Kohen, the backup Kohen, at his right hand, at the Kohen Gadol's right hand, Verosh Beis Av Mismolo, and the head of the family that was doing, was assigned to do the worship in the Beis HaMikdosh that day, was standing at his left hand. Im Shel Shem Olo Biyamino. Now the Kohen Gadol and his two companions, the Skan and the Rosh Beis Av, were able to see which lot was in which hand. So if the lot upon which was written Lashem, to God, Olah B'Yamino, came into his right hand, this was considered to be a good omen. Askan Omerlo, the Skan would say to the Kohen Gadol, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master Kohen Gadol, Hagba Yemincha, raise your right hand so that people should see that the Gorol Lashem is in your right hand. V'yim shel shem olo b'smolo. If the lot, the Gorol, upon which was written Lashem, happened to be in his left hand, Rosh Beis Av, so the other Kohen accompanying the Kohen Gadol, would say, Omerlo, would say to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, dear sir Kohen Gadol, Hagba Smolcho, raise your left hand. Now these are two goats in front of him. So he would take his right hand, and whichever gorol, Lashem or Lazozel, with his right hand, he would put it on the goat by his right hand. And whichever gorol, Lashem or Lazozel, would be in his left hand, he would put by the goat which was by his left hand. Nisonon al shnei ha-se'irim vi-omer. And he would say, if facing the goat upon which he was placing the gorol, which was written Lashem, the gorol which will eventually be a korban chatos, he would designate that goat as a korban chatos and say Lahashem chatos, and he would pronounce the shame as it is written Yud Hei Vav Hei, as it is written. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Rabbi Yishmael says, Lo ha-yitzorech lomar chatos. He didn't have to say the word chatos. It was understood that this was going to be a korban chatos. El Hashem, all he had to do was say, this particular goat, the right hand or the left hand, depending upon which gorol came into which hand, he would just say, Lashem, this is for Yud Hei Vav Hei. When the people who were surrounding him, the Kohanim and the Am, who were standing in the Azora, heard the Kohen Gadol pronounce the name of God, pronounce the way it was written, V'hein onin acharav, they would all respond with the phrase, Boruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Liolam Voed, may the name of his holy kingdom be mentioned forever and ever. meaning that once they heard the Shem HaMefodosh, the name Yud Hei Vav Hei, pronounced as it is written, they always responded with those words. And so we have finished lesson number 14, and we will continue tomorrow in our study of the fourth perek of Mishnayos Maseches Yomah.